You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Hey friends, Dan Duvall here to tell you about something I am super excited about. The Bride Tribe Advance 2023, which we are going to be calling Revolution. Take your place in the kingdom. This is going to happen at the Royal Sonesta in Houston in the Galleria area from November 9th through the 12th. At booking.bridemovement.com, you will be able to register for this event. And it links right from bridemovement.com. I know I don't always give announcements on this podcast for what's going on in the bride ministries world, but this is just too important, friends. It is going to be extraordinary. Every year that we do this advance, it is a move of God. It is a move of God. Last year, we had 3 hours of nonstop testimony after the event with a line that was still going, and we just had to shut it down so we could tear down. It was because God moves at these advances, and we don't want those of you that are part of our podcast family to miss out because you just didn't get the news. Booking.bridemovement.com. You can sign up. You will be able to get your hotel room. You'll also be able to get some information about the event itself, meet our speakers. It's going to be me, Todd Edwards, and also two of my favorite people from the other side of the world, Todd and Rachel Weatherly. And we are going to be having an extraordinary time of family and fellowship, worship, and cutting edge revelation. So I want to invite you all, booking.bridemovement.com. Now, in addition to that, keep in mind, danduvall.com is the home of the Discovering Truth podcast. You can do a couple of things on that website. Number one, you can access our podcasts. Number two, you can purchase really cool merchandise like mugs and shirts. And we have the whole Names of God series. A lot of people that watch church, they say, hey, where'd you get that really cool shirt with all the names of God? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Gabor. Like, where is that sold? danduvall.com, friends. And it comes in robes for the ladies and handbags and all that cool stuff. And you can know that you are supporting this podcast when you buy and look highly fashionable in your new gear. We also have the ability to become a podcast patron for as little as $5 a month. And that comes with benefits. You get early access to these podcasts and a few other goodies. And so the last piece of news, as many of you know, Overcomer Accelerated is our offering to those that want to accelerate their healing journey. You can join in three ways. One, you can join just for the live components, which includes a live ministry demonstration with yours truly on a weekly basis, as well as book study. Option number two includes over 100 hours of coursework online in addition to the live component. And the third way to join is with a coach. So you'll get the live ministry and the book study. You'll get over 100 hours of learning online, and you will also get 8 hours of personalized one-on-one coaching with a trained coach every month that you stay enrolled. And so overcomeraccelerated.com, check out the offer. And with that said, we're going to jump right into the podcast on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Those were your announcements. Well, friends, we're back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall, and I have Celeste Solom back with me today. She was on with me just a few weeks ago, and we were talking about synthetic biology and a whole lot of stuff that they are doing. I mean, I was actually having a lot of fun during that conversation. She was answering questions I've had over the years and trying to figure out how the heck did nanotechnology end up in the water, among other things. But she is just a treasure trove of research and well-researched ideas and knowledge. And we're going to be doing a part two today, but we are going to take the direction of weaponry weaponry with which they are targeting individuals. Celeste, welcome back to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
It's great to be here, Dan.
It's great to have you. For the people, why don't you go ahead and just tell them a little bit about your website, your resources, and how people can connect with you.
Okay, so my videos are at celestialreport.com. And my articles, of which has been kind of few because I've been doing the webinar on synthetic biology, is at shepherdsheart.life. And you can get all those resources now for sale. The web books or the flip books are up. The PDFs are up. The paperback will soon be coming. And then also you can follow me on Rumble or whatever. But I really enjoy and appreciate everybody's support, because what I do and what you do takes a lot of time. And this synthetic biology took me 6 months of immersing myself in it, doing nothing else, like almost 20 hours a day. So it was, and then I felt that the Holy Spirit told me that I really needed to make it free for humanity, because everyone is facing it. And so I'm the servant or the handmaiden of the living God. And so, I mean, you just have to do that. But I have to pay bills just like everybody else. So now that we got that part over with. So yes, there's weaponry that is out there. And I think the first thing that kind of a segue mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. it from last time with the synthetic biology is, if you remember, synthetic biology, that what it does is it changes your function from your original creation and plan that God had for you into a serving or bowing to the evil satanic forces. So ideology, they're literally inserting it into you. And we, you know, people say, oh, look at COVID's here, or look at this here, chicken noodle soup just went synthetic biology. It's now on the label. So, you know, the very symbol, now that's an algorithm, and we can talk about that in a few minutes. That's an algorithm. It uses Carver plus shock. And why they chose, I mean, they're doing it to all food, but, you know, chicken noodle soup was when you were sick, when you were young, your mother would make you chicken noodle soup for healing. And even your doctors often would say chicken noodle soup for healing. And now they've turned it, now it's a weapon if you buy Campbell's chicken noodle soup and probably any other brand.
Okay, since you opened it up, Campbell's chicken noodle soup. Okay, so that chicken that's in it, what is it really?
Well, these days, now back in the last decade, the United Nations, and really the, you know, people like Bill Gates and everything, they wanted to take it into synthetic biology, and you started to hear the words from about 2008 onward that you can't take anything from nature, to especially for food, but you really can't take anything from nature, anything at all. And if you really want to see a excellent, people thought I was kidding on this, but there's a video. It's very short. It's like 5 minutes. It's on YouTube. It's put out by The Onion. And it's the Taco Bell CEO. And it was talking about a time when they were introducing, it was supposed to be a satire or satire kind of thing. But what they were doing is floating the bubble. And they were saying they're going to melt down all the plastic lids and forks and put it in the new chalupa, and then their new taco was going to take out CO2 from the atmosphere. Now, what are we seeing now? That's exactly what's happening. And so I knew it at the time. And so they were just getting you you know, predictive programming. So you can look at it yourself. And now we're here. We don't have to wonder about it anymore. So basically all food, anything that you have to need to live, cannot come from nature anymore. It has to all come from the demonic, where it's broken down to the elemental form and then re-engineered, devoid of God and his plan and his creation. So that's where we're at.
Just disgusting. I have my own beef to pick, if that pun intended, with Taco Bell, because that stuff, you know, I took a few rounds like years ago. I'm talking like over a decade ago. I got delivered. And it was through much pain and tribulation. Every time I went to Taco Bell, it was gut issues, like up the wazoo. Ooh. I just, you know, and I learned. I was like, mm-hmm. This cannot be real food. No, it was not real food. It was awful. But that's okay. So that's my opinion. Thank you. Wow. Campbell's soup. Okay. So we're going to talk about weapons. Now they're targeting mm-hmm. people, right? And I work with targeted individuals, right? And mm-hmm. so I have had the most bizarre things explained to me by people and all over the world. And we're not just talking about people that are disenfranchised. Okay, we're talking mm-hmm. about people that have access, money, wealth.
Yes.
Like people are suffering and they are being targeted by actual weapons. A lot of them are frequency weapons. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are other types as well. And so let's talk a little bit about this. Now, how do you end up from synthetic bio going into this direction, Celeste?
Okay, so I go to military conferences in my spare time. So this one on where they were talking about Havana syndrome. And at the very end, there was a CEO of a contractor, government contractor, and he was talking about the next pandemic that was going to come. And he said, you know, what people really trip up on is they see, okay, pandemic here, synthetic biology here, direct energy weapon here, 5G over here. But you can't look at it. This is called siloed. If you just focus on this or this or this, and no, I'm not making any devil signs or anything, anybody at this, that it's a silo approach in your brain. What you have to start thinking is these are an integrated weapon system. We have to, so the computers work with synthetic biology, which work with pharmakia, the pharmaceuticals and therapeutics, which work with 5G and direct energy weapons. So we really can't look at them as separate things, because then we miss it and we really can't understand it and we can't protect ourselves against it. If you just look at one thing, there's going to be many other things that hit you that you're unaware of. But when you understand this concept that it's an integrated weapon system, think of it as a Roman phalanx in the Roman days. What they did is they had their shields overlapping one another and they kind of had it like a spear and they would go forward, and it was very effective warfare, body armor, and they would protect themselves so that it was overlapped so there weren't any gaps. And what we're looking at when we're doing an integrated weapon system is we're not allowing the enemy any room or gaps to sneak in and get us a different way.
Wow. Yeah. 5G, frequency weapon. So, when you look at this, Celeste, what is the context from which you're approaching the problem? As in, you're analyzing, okay, there are these weapons, And so are you researching this simply to expose it at this stage or to bring about actualization of change, to put together some kind of case? Where are you approaching the problem from?
So where I'm approaching it is, one, I need to understand the weapons, because in the scripture it says no weapon formed against us will prosper.
Come on.
So I want to understand. It also says don't be ignorant of the devil's wiles. So I want to understand his battle strategy. That's what you need to do. This is war. We have to realize this is not normal. We are at war. There's spiritual war. There's war in the space above us. There's war under the earth, and there's war on the surface of the earth. We're in a war position. And if you think that we're normal, you might want to have a little chat with God about that, because we really are at war. You may not be on the front lines, but you need to understand we're at war. The next thing that I do, once I understand the weaponry, I go into the word, because every problem and every solution is in the word. And if we don't go to the word, that is the rima of God. That's the sword of the spirit. That's how we're going to slay these devils, and we're going to wound the head of the beast by his word. And so we can't, I'm not trying to effectuate political change or any. I think it's at this point, it's an individual basis. And either you're with the Lord or you're not with the Lord, you know. Not that we're not planting seeds and all of that, but in this war setting, I don't think we can't solve a spiritual issue with a political solution. So that doesn't mean we don't network, like you and I are networking and others are networking. That doesn't mean that. It just means that I don't think that we're going to see, you know, we're not going to vote them out. At work, they used to say the train has left the station. And that's true. The train has left the station. There's not, other than Almighty God, who could put an end. I mean, he changed Nineveh. I mean, but he took out Sodom and Gomorrah. So.
Yeah, he did. Nineveh had a delayed judgment for a whole generation, and the whole nation got turned upside down. It's, you know, I think that our God is big.
Yes.
And one of the things that you're bringing out is, okay, so we're researching weapons, technology weapons, because there are prayer strategies to be developed that can oppose. And I'm obviously 100% on board, because I've been solving, right, for technologically driven harassment and bondage for years. That's like, because as I was, you know, getting into my whole work with survivors of satanic ritual abuse and government projects and defecting from different levels of the cult throughout the world and all of this stuff, we ran into the technology and we ran into the frequency, and it just kept landing on my desk. And it was hard, because it's like, okay, well, this is, you know, believe the promises of God and plead the blood of Jesus. And like, okay, you know, it feels good to pray it. But then you map it. It's like, is this actually changing lives? And not always would simple prayers create change. But, you know, one of the interesting things I realized, Celeste, is that there is a way to map technology to spiritual principles. Mm-hmm. That on the basis of the mapping of technology and its function to spiritual principles, you're able to bring in spiritually driven change to physiological or physical processes that are happening in the natural plane. It's wild. It kind of boils down to whatever you ask, believing you receive it, you will have it. So if you don't know what to ask for, or your prayers are, you know, quote unquote amiss, which in this case sometimes it's like literally you don't know how to pray against the technology, then there's limited fruit. But there is power in the name of Jesus to solve problems. I mean, on catastrophic levels. And so that's the hope, right? And that's what I've been seeing plenty of testimonies, even from technology stuff. But, you know, getting to that you know, place where we understand, okay, this technology is real. It's really happening. One of the big technology areas that deserves discussion is frequency technologies. Mm-hmm. You mentioned 5G. Mm-hmm. All right, let's unpack that from your perspective. What has been brought to your desk, Celeste?
So I like to look at things from the positive side. So imagine, I just want you to, everyone to right now to think, you are healthy in mind, spirit, and body. Every part of you is healthy, the way God created you. You know, not that we don't all have a little ache and pain or something, you know, we're human. But you're at the grocery store, but the person in front of you, and God bless him, I was just at Costco yesterday and I saw a man and he was like ashen and he had oxygen he was carrying with him. You don't even, frequency is so fascinating because you don't have to talk to the person. You don't have to smile at them. Of course, it does help. You don't have to shake their hand. But just your presence as a healthy person in mind, body, spirit kickstarts that person into health. Kickstarts. Now that person can refuse. Maybe they like being sick. Maybe they like the attention. Maybe they like this or that. Maybe there's different bondages, but your presence, and we need to realize this when we're healthy, as healthy human, healthy mankind. I'm trying to get rid of the human and out of my vocabulary. As healthy mankind, that's a powerful statement that we can effectuate healing, just our presence. And it does work. It really does work. And it works both ways. One time I was in the grocery store and there was this little old lady, she's like 4 foot something. And she was looking at the loaves of bread up on the top shelf. And I said, would you like me to get those two loaves? Because she was trying her best, but she couldn't look at the labels or anything. This is back in the 80s. And so I brought him back down and she could inspect him. And she goes, my name is Esther. And I said, oh, my name is Celeste. And she goes, you know, Esther's in the Bible. I said, I know that. And, you know, we just had that brief exchange. She decided on the one type of bread that she wanted. This was the 80s. Mm-hmm. And we both went our separate ways. Every time I went into that grocery store, I looked for Esther. I never did see her again. But I know that just our brief interchange, and we, you know, that particular day we would run into each other in different aisles at the grocery store and we just smiled at each other, you know, and I just think that is powerful. That is a frequency weapon, God's frequency weapon, to help people heal, you know, and then you just add prayer and other different things. How amazing is that, you know?
Well, okay, so approaching frequency from that standpoint, right?
Okay,
this is huge. So now, first of all, okay, so you triggered me. There is a passage in the book of Revelation, right, chapters 4 and 5, where we are introduced to the throne room of God. Mm-hmm. And I tell people the throne room of God is a frequency extravaganza. Mm-hmm. Light, sound, mm-hmm. frequency everywhere, right? And it's so extraordinary because it's like frequency translating through all kinds of different, even, you know, but first of all, God himself is described on the throne as a living stone. A lot of people miss mm-hmm. that. Like, so what passes through that frequency that comes off of the stone, like the whoa, right? And then there's the rainbow, all these colors. Those are frequencies of light surrounding, but it's like an emerald. And then you have like the choirs of heaven singing holy, holy, which is more mm-hmm. frequency. And then you have the sapphire, so which is like but it's described like a sea of glass. And mm-hmm. and so the glory of the Lord is reflecting in and out of it. So it's like frequencies everywhere. And then the throne is talking and lightnings, thunderings, voices. And it's like, wow, 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 wow. Like Ga is a massive frequency generator. Like his frequency is the source point of all of creation. Like so that. That, and then, you know, people even borrow on the name of God. It's like, well, that's the frequency that passes through the whole universe. Well, of course, God is a frequency, and as it is all of the different aspects of him, like love and joy and peace. These are like frequency. So when we are connected to the source, those frequencies pass right through us, change things. And it's interesting because people know this intuitively. It's like you meet a person and it's like, wow. It's like there's nothing there. They're so shut down and you can't, or the only thing coming off of them is fear and insecurity and anxiety. But then you know, person B, and they're just so connected to the heart of Jesus. And it's like this love and peace and joy just emanating. They haven't opened. You're right. Okay. But you know, so we are frequency generators walking around. And one of the things that is so true about what you're saying, right? Frequencies affect us. So when we hang out around people that have, you know what the New Agers call these? Vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vibrations. Of course they do. Like, you know, but when you hang out with people that have good vibrations, like it brings us up or down. So if the enemy wants to bring people down into corporate and mass influence, into negative thought patterns and disposition, he would want to target the frequencies throughout a region.
And kind of what he also, what the enemy is doing, since the Lord just ministers in all the frequencies through our senses. And what the enemy's trying to do right now is dull our senses, dull our eyes, dull our ears, dull our taste, dull our smell, dull our touch. And so that is one of the subtleties that, you know, the weaponry isn't exactly, well, like COVID, they said, oh, well, you're not going to be able to smell and taste. And some people still can't smell or taste. And some people have terrible tinnitus, which, you know, lots of vision problems and senses. And that kind of, it's very kind of hard. I have my own vision challenges, but I'm trusting on the Lord. I was going to have surgery. And I was reading the passage in Exodus when God is calling Moses, and Moses is, this is the Celeste paraphrase, Moses is saying, oh, you better call somebody else, I'm slow of speech, I'm not a great orator, maybe you better call somebody else. And you know, God's not gonna let him off the hook, you know. And he goes, is it I who makes the tongue and makes speech and all this? And then the next words, and it was like lightning hit me because I was gonna have surgery the next week. He said, isn't it I who gives sight and blindness? And I went, oh my God, by me going and getting surgery, going into the belly of the beast, pharmakia, what lessons am I depriving myself spiritually if I go for that surgery when I'm turning to them instead of falling on my knees and just crying out to God and saying, I'm going to hang on to your garment until you heal me, Lord. I'm just going to do it. And then also, if I did, God forbid, go blind, it's not going to impact my faith, not one bit, but it might show and minister to somebody else that even though you have a physical affliction, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, you know, that through our trial, and they see you still living for Jesus, that's a powerful statement. So I canceled the surgery. And yeah, I mean, the Lord has not healed my eyes yet. But hey, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't certainly slow me down at all. I'm still in full-time ministry. At the end of the day, my eyes get a little weary. But it doesn't slow me down. But I feel like I'm in the perfect will of the Lord. And So I think that's a one lesson. And you, each person here has different things that they can, because the Lord went on and he did a number of things, which did relate to Jesus's ministry that he talked about from Isaiah, you know, setting the captives free and, you know.
Well, I'm going to believe God for the complete healing of your eyes.
So absolutely. I do too. And but you know what? To me, as long as I have him here, I'll tell you a funny story. So I was doing something, writing books, writing articles, all this stuff. And people would get down on me because I missed a comma. I would put like a comma instead of a period or like one little grammatical error. They did not realize that I, at that point, I could not see the screen. I could not see my computer screen at all. I literally was hearing from the Holy Spirit, and I was merely the scribe. I was just typing away, typing away, typing away. And they had no idea. And I go, you know what? If that's the worst, if you're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, it, whatever, you know. But I've seen what the Lord can do in any state, and I'm content. I'm in content with my lot. Of course, I'm going to ask, because it says if you don't ask, you may not receive. So of course, I'm going to ask. But if it's not my lot, and it can minister to other people, that I am a frail human being, just like all of you out there. You have your strong points and you have your weaknesses, but we still can do the will of Jesus Christ through it all, through it all.
So coming back to frequency technology.
Yep.
All right. So now I am of the opinion that certain frequency weapons mm-hmm. can be projected either onto a single individual, mm-hmm. Basically by knowing the brainwave signature, because mm-hmm. the brain has no firewall, or over a population. Yeah. And with a population, you would want to immerse them from a frequency generating tower that has the reach over mm-hmm. a population, like within a certain square mileage or whatever. Now, I think all the technology is in place, and I think the 5G grid is particularly utilizable to this end. But what are your thoughts?
You know, people make a lot of to-do about the 5G. Mm-hmm. To me, so I was dealing with patients that had electromagnetic sensitivity when I was in environmental medicine. And think of it like pollution. Think of you're in downtown Los Angeles or something, or Beijing, and you know, you go about your business. Is it fun being in pollution? No. Might you have some respiratory or it irritates your eyes or whatever? So yeah, but I think it's a low grade. It's a kind of like having a low grade infection. It undermines you, yes. But it's, to me, I think the bigger energy weapons that I'm really concerned about, because it doesn't bring you to the primordial soup. You know, you're just kind of melting down into this blah of pollution. But there's ones that just come after people. And those are the ones that I guess I'm more concerned about. I think that there's things that we can do against 5G. You know, we can make a safe room in our bedroom where we don't have electronics in there. We can paint the wall there's paint that you can get. It's copper paint. It's very expensive. It's like $5,000 a gallon. But if you get anti-fouling paint, that's F-O-U-L-I-N-G, it's what they paint the bottom of boats with. It's very inexpensive. So you can paint your walls with that. You can wear clothes that can protect you from EMF, different waves. I think the bigger ones are kind of these newer technologies. So I also know about the direct energy weapons, and copper is your friend. Copper mesh, get it on Amazon. You can put it above wherever you're getting. If you're targeted in one particular place, like right here at this chair, I've been targeted once or twice. And or your bedroom, wherever you're targeted. The people that were playing around with it at that military conference I was talking about said they put 2-inch square of copper mesh grounded. Has to be grounded, you guys, or you're going to end up having trouble. On their temples, and it didn't matter. They were shooting direct energy weapons at each other in the lab. And they said at the temple, it will prevent the head from getting zapped.
Fascinating. I actually do really agree with what you're saying on 5G, you know, because it's everywhere. And it, I mean, okay. So I've talked to people who have felt highly targeted by 5G, that's their mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my personal experience is I'm around 5G grids all the time because I literally live in a city. And my life, for the most part, goes on as normal, which to me says, like you said, it's more like background pollution. I'm just concerned with some of the technologies that they put on the towers themselves that I think can be utilized, which would be, I guess that would be my, I don't think the 5G, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe I'm completely wrong on all the technology here, but it's like they have like these black boxes that are part of the technology on the 5G towers. And then they have like the 5G generator that just puts out the frequencies and something else that does whatever they want. Am I wrong about that? Just tell me.
I don't think the terrestrial stuff, yeah, it's a network, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it can do even direct energy weapon. To be honest, I'm more concerned about what's up there in space that they have, or even flying over, like the Valkyrie, that autonomous jet. Did we talk about the Valkyrie last time? I can't remember.
Let's talk about it. We did not.
Okay, so in 2019, Australia had wildfires. And so we sent over an autonomous jet. That means that there is no human in the seat. And it was made of graphene. It could go invisible. It could not be invisible. And it goes over there. It has a payload, like a fire payload. Like, what in the heck are they sending a autonomous military fighter jet over to the Australian wildfires? But it also had geomancer and spellbook on it. And what that did is it projected down across, and it was called Valkyrie, Chooser of the Slain. And remdesivir, during the whole COVID, that the original name of remdesivir was Valkyrie. So they knew ahead of time that was what it was going to do. But so back to Australia. So we have geomancer and spellbook projected down spells and curses on the people and the territory of Australia. That mixed with the indigenous people's different reliefs and just created this huge witch's brew. And I was in contact with a person in Australia at the time, and he said the witch meetings and all this type of witchcraft was off the charts. And then what happened? That then, bam, no sooner did the wildfires end than the jet came back to the United States. And what did the Australian government do? It turned tyrannical. I mean, of all the countries, they were the most tyrannical against the people. They just went. So to be honest, I really think it was the witchcraft. There are some really good Christians who were praying against the witchcraft, especially when they found out about spellbook and geomancer and Valkyrie. But now Valkyrie has come home to roost. The chickens have come home to roost. And so Valkyrie's over here. So, but we not only have Valkyrie, so which is this jet that comes over and broadcasts down on the people. Individual. I mean, they can even target one cell or one organ in your body they could do everybody that's a Christian, anybody that's this, or they can be all Italians, you know, they're, it can determine race, religion, anything they want, sick, well, whatever. But we've got Ouija, Astarte. These are all DARPA things, very low orbiting satellites. They all have either their gods or goddesses or their names with witchcraft, and they all have geomancer and spellbook. And so they're constantly pummeling us now. And this just started last year. I mean, it's, they were just, they're just beaming down witchcraft. And so to me, yes, we've got to be concerned about the frequency, but witchcraft has that frequency too. And so we have to realize that we got to put, like I said, it's an integrated system. So the frequency is working with the witchcraft, and we have to realize that in our prayer life and come against it and realize that even though we may not be seeing it, it is being projected down upon us.
Now, you probably don't know the answer to this question, but you know, I'm going to ask it, and maybe you have some opinions. So they're sitting there in the DARPA lab, right? Scientist A and scientist B, like, how should we spend our time today? Let's build a satellite to project witchcraft on people. Like, oh, sounds like a great idea. You know, so you drink a cup of Joe and start working on it. And then they spend millions and millions of dollars to launch it and put it there. And then it just does that. Like, so what's the use case from their perspective? Like, if we were to be in the minds of the people that are sitting there at DARPA putting this stuff up, what are they thinking when they're putting these technologies together? I'm just asking, as I'm genuinely curious, like, what do you think?
Okay, so I'm probably suited to answer that question, because before 9/11, I worked for FEMA, and we used to brainstorm. I mean, we would, you know, get in the room, huddle, you know, and talk about what projects and what's the best way of solving it, that type of thing. The closer it got to 9/11, certainly 2 years, the countdown started at 2 years before 9/11. And then afterwards, it was like downright forbidden. You stay in your office, you stay in your wheelhouse, and you don't go out. It's, compartmentalized. So those scientists there are told one little thing, you know, or they just give them money to play. But I think they're so compartmentalized that they really are not. And honestly, when I was being trained for incident commander, you're put in this artificial emergency operation center, and then they have this other room, and that's where that's the hive, and they're injecting like how the disaster's going, and they make it as miserable on you as possible to see if you're made of the right stuff. And at the end, you know, I went out with one of my instructors after, and he said, "You did too good." They don't want people to be thinkers. They don't want you to beat the system. They just want you to be a little worker bee. I'm just a little worker bee. I'm just doing my thing, you know, whatever that is. You know, I'm told to do this. I'm told what to think. I'm told what to do. I check in at 9 o'clock. I check out at 5 o'clock. I go, you know, they don't want people to put the big picture and connect dots, because then they might become a whistleblower or something. So they really don't want people thinking. So they have a very narrow scope. It's like with binoculars, you can see, or a panoramic camera, you can see everything, but they just want you to see this like little microscope vision, telescopic vision. So does that answer your question?
Okay. So basically, yep, evil, corrupt people doing evil, corrupt things.
For a paycheck. For a paycheck.
Dollars backing. Wow. Okay. Oh. What else should we expect? So you are primarily concerned about the low orbiting satellites, which makes a lot of sense. Now,
but there's other things like Looking Glass and human to body, body, human body communication, and the harvesting of our electrons, literally. So there's this technology out there. You want to go down the rabbit hole a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Electron harvesting technology. What?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, I so one night I just wanted to like chill, you know. So I turn on, and I won't watch anything offensive to my faith, right? So I picked this about the Hope Diamond, a documentary on the Hope Diamond. And at the end, they say what they're doing is they're doing shooting a laser at the Hope Diamond, so microscopic that nobody can see the holes, and they're liberating the electrons from it. And I go, because they wanted to see the origin, because they're going to try and tell us, you know, we came from aliens and, you know, primordial single cell, you know, there's no creation, it's evolutionary. But I go, oh, I didn't. And then next thing I know, I find out about this technology that they are actually, through electroporation, and I was actually talking with a doctor about this yesterday, with these weapons, they're, you know, you've heard of the little needle thing. Technology. No, you haven't heard. Well, let's just talk frequency. So they're drilling little holes in your body right now.
Yeah.
And little tiny lasers that you don't even see. And it's called, and then they're some of your electrons get liberated, and they're capturing them, and they're cannibalizing them. They're food for these evil people, and not people, demons. They're actually like you're sitting there, I'm sitting there, or here. I think we're pretty protected because of the blood of the lamb and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the average person that's maybe not got their armor on and in active in prayer, they're literally boring little holes in them, liberating a little bits of who they are as a human. And these demons are eating it. They're cannibalizing it. And I went, and it's, I can give you that. I can send you that information on that technology. It's, you know, just like,
wow. Now, here's what I was aware of in a more general sense. You know, when people are in strife, mm-hmm. and anger and fear and depression, deep emotions like that are negative. Absolutely, this has been discerned by so many people over the course of, you know, decades. Like, demons will come and just grab that emotive energy, and they do feast on it. It's a power source for them, which is why one of the things that the enemy does when he creates massive fear, that's a harvesting frenzy for the demonic. So like a pandemic where they put all this fear on CNN and CNBC and MSNBC and all like that, that this stuff is a feeding frenzy because it puts people in a frequency emotive state of fear and panic. Oof, the yum, 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 you know, what you're talking about seems to be like next level demonic harvesting of people. Wow. They don't stop, do they? You know, the good news is, though, is that God keeps filling us up.
Yes.
Like, you know, and that's one of the things that there's a teaching in the body of Christ, you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And some people have taken this to be a one-time event where they begin to speak in the gift of tongues. And I mean, I speak in tongues. I'm all about it. One of the things I've noticed, though, is that as I go, like day by day, week by week, I get fresh infillings of Holy Ghost. Like, you know, fill me up, Lord. Fill it back up. I think one of the mitigation strategies for this kind of stuff, just as people are listening, is stay like we have an infinite power source in the Spirit of God. Like, we can refill what's been stolen and harvested. And that's the good news. But this is it's good to know. Wow.
But just think, like at a candlelight ceremony, you know, you're doing a candlelight service. And we've got that candle inside of us. We've got Jesus is the light of the world. And so just think of yourself as a candle. But just if you can't think of yourself as a candle, just think of holding a candle and it's got a flame. And then you lean it over and you are passing it to the next person. Now, when you pass that light to the next person, like I'm passing it to you right now, Dan, and I'm not diminishing my light, but I'm kindling your light. And so you're not diminishing, you're actually igniting another person, and it can go infinite. It can go exponential outward. And in the Bible, do a word study sometime on the Lord's outstretched hand. So it goes outward like this, his light. I guess I'm in a positive mood today. It's hard to talk about weaponry when you're all like fired up, you know, for the Lord. So.
All right. So now here's I'm just going to ask this. What are some of the other weapons you've been becoming aware of more recently, like specifically?
Well, so maybe you've already covered this with everyone. I don't know. We'll see. So I'm just going to read a few. This is from Robert Duncan. I was going to say David, and I knew that wasn't right. Global communication warfare, and its code name is Gabriel. Now, you got to know the enemy hates God, but he uses God's the language, but part of that is for deception. And this is under your voice of God weapons. Go under that. Biometric recognition and identification network is the acronym is BRAIN. And that's biometrics is under that. Radio hypnotic intracerebral control, electronic dissolution of memory is called EDM. That the acronym is EDM, mentally integrated neuron duplicator, the acronym is MIND, chatterbots, which that's the big, you know, chat GPT is the new thing. So artificial linguistic internet computer entity is called ALICE, that acronym. Thought and memory interface is TAMI. I got two more. Common human routines interference software technology, the acronym is CHRIST. So when they use the word Christ, especially if they don't say Jesus, you have to, they're on the enemy. This is an interference software with human routines because they don't want you to be human. Remember in 2019, it was declared we're a post-human world. And then the last one we can talk about is silent assassination through adaptation networks. That is the acronym is Satan. That includes death doctors, angels of death, psychic assassins, voodoo doll, no touch torture, and day of the damned. One last one is Noah's Ark, and the code that's code for downsizing the human race.
So I read that book, Project Soulcatcher Volume 2, years ago. It blew my mind. It now sits as suggested reading for all of the people that I train to do work with survivors of government projects, among other things. These kinds of technologies seem to really be almost like the harder part of the problem to solve than even the demonic is, because when people are up against technology, it's kind of like, you know, it's one thing to pray and say, you know, Lord, I just want to believe you for a financial breakthrough, or I want to believe you for a positive attitude at my job today, or I want to believe. And then it's another thing entirely to, you know, look at your cell phone and say, I'm going to pray and this will no longer work, because now your prayers are actually bridging the gap from spiritual matters into the physical realm. And there's, you know, there's some complexity around, especially if it's going to work every time. And some of these technologies that are affecting the human mind, physical function and all of that stuff, it does get extremely hectic. Now, one of the ones that was on that list, the Chatterbox program, I've actually run into that. It's extremely irritating. Now, the way that it was manifesting when I ran into it in at least years ago, it's like a talking program in a person's mm-hmm. head that just keeps mm-hmm. repeating a script, but it's not a piece of soul that's broken. It's not a demon. It's literally a program that was yes. uploaded into the brain that's speaking a script a person hears inside of their head. Highly irritating. And it's almost like, you know, the technique for dealing with this thing isn't to cast out a demon. It's actually to uninstall a program.
Yeah.
But you're talking about uninstalling a program from a biological entity, person, right? And so, welcome to the new horizon, Celeste.
Well, it's like if anybody has had a loved one or knows anybody that has had Alzheimer's or dementia, they get that script. They play something over and over again. And sometimes, I mean, we've all been there. We're in bed at night. We just want to go to sleep, and there's something on our mind, and it just keeps going. It's that script that you're talking about. It's like a little hamster wheel, round and round and round it goes. And we just have to command it to stop in the name of Jesus, and not let it, don't live it, let it get a foot in. We just have to, and there might be some kick to it, like an energy, there might be something, or it might just literally, there are script weapons, and there's dictionary and semantic weapons. So these are all part of the weaponry. But when we see it, when we realize, you know, this is like the second time I've thought about that in the last 5 minutes and I'm trying to go to sleep, you know, it's time to really get serious. Even if you have to, you know, sit up, read some scripture, pray, you know, however the Holy Spirit leads you to do it, to break that script. You need to. Now, unfortunately, people with Alzheimer's and dementia don't have that, you know, option, but most of us do.
Now, with some of these other technologies that, you know, he writes about in his book, Project Soulcatcher. Now, I'm just curious, have you been personally approached by somebody who was experiencing the targeting by these weapons, knew it, and was explaining to you their experience? And how did they explain it? And it's just, you know, for the listeners.
On the...
Like the Gabriel program or the Satan.
What happens to the emails that I get from targeted individuals, it's yes. very sad, because usually it is a 5 to 10 page email.
Yeah.
And they're pouring their heart out to you. Yep. And they're desperate. They've been to 500 doctors.
Yep.
And nobody can help them.
Yep.
They've talked to their pastor. He can't help them.
Check.
And they want somebody. They're in desperation. They're turning to somebody they don't even know. They are so desperate. And so sometimes I can help, but oftentimes with the targeted individual, I don't have the my ministry isn't that specifically for targeted individuals. I can give them a few tips, and of course I'm now sharing your books, and I've got my own some other books, like Dr. Ed Murphy's book, but that's, this is where the body of Christ can come together, because I'm on the front lines, I'm researching, I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do. And was I in the deliverance ministry? Absolutely, for 10 years. And, you know, of course, I've never stopped, really. It's like you said, once you start, but I mean, actively, I had a season of 10 years where I was actually just on a deliverance team and we did deliverance. And so I will gently, if a few tips, but mostly that doesn't work because these are people that really need a big support network of faith, of people of faith around them. It's unwise to do it. Like for me, I don't have a church background or backing right now. I don't have like a deliverance team. So it's unwise unless if the Holy Spirit said, act, you know, minister, like I did go on a trip east and I went to this lady's house and her daughter was about 21. She was some mild mental handicaps. And she saw in dream or she saw in dreams and visions, but she showed me pictures and it was evil. And then she goes, well, let me tell you about Pokemon. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit had, you know, it was the Lion of Judah in me coming out. And I said, no, let me tell you about Pokemon. And she goes, you mean I have to give up Pokemon? I did it gently, you know. She goes, I have to give up Pokemon for Jesus. And I said, yes, you do. And she goes, but my mom said it was okay. And her mom's a pastor. And I said, yeah, you do. Because right now, Pokemon's trying to get you into the metaverse. Pokemon, there's a whole Pokemon metaverse now that I could send you the information on it. They don't want anybody left behind. I mean, this documentation, it was downright scary. So I had just come into that information when I went to her house. So yes, I did a mini deliverance session Wow. with them. So,
you know, that is the conversation, right? Like targeted individuals.
Yeah.
My heart so goes out because the disenfranchisement is off the charts.
Yeah.
Because if it's not happening to me and it's happening to you, and what's happening to you makes me feel powerless, then I don't want to know or care about what's happening to you because I want my peace. And so targeted individuals often find themselves on the other side of this logic, right? Where it's like, I need help. Somebody listen to me. And so many times the response is, I don't understand your problems, so stop talking about them. And that's very painful. And I've gotten the 5 to 10 to 20 page emails as well. Our organization gets them all the time. In fact, you know, we are always trying to iterate on how can we get better at being the help. But there are these reports, right? Of it's like even being implanted with technology through frequency targeting type testimonies. And then there's strange marks on the body. There's stuff that comes out of the body. There's often a tie-in to abduction experiences, either the MyLabs or the entity group. Like, it's like all these worlds begin to blur. And, you know, it's very difficult to explain for a person, for instance, like, yeah, I was in my bed and then I started getting blasted by frequencies, but then I was being pulled by a tractor beam through my wall. And then I was in another dimension, but on a craft. And then I was put back 3 seconds after I left and my spouse slept through the whole thing. And it's like, but there's like, how do I explain technology that seems to not obey the laws of linear time or normal experience patterns? And then there's, you know, the influence over emotion states that people experience, like, and talk about. They're like, you know, it's just all of a sudden it's like drop of a hat, I'm overwhelmed with anger emotion, and it's like a frequency just smashes me. Suddenly I'm depressed, suddenly I really want to, you know, do things I shouldn't do, engage in addiction patterns. And it's like, but I'm getting hammered. And, you know, the temptation is, well, that's just the fire arrows of the devil. That's just a spiritual thing. Just renounce it, move on. And yet some of these technologies that you even mentioned claim to have the capacity to sway emotion states or put the body in physical sensations that are quite overwhelming, including what he was calling in his book, denial of service weapons, which really messed with my head because I was like, wow. You know, they suggest that some of these denial of service weapons, like you can make a person feel physically like they are being lit on fire.
Yes.
But no marks on the body.
That's what happened with Iraq. Remember in the Iraq war, all the soldiers ran saying, our skin is burning, our skin is burning. That was that weapon.
And what is possible in an underground lab where there's no regulation, no laws, no police, no rescue? If you want to torture a person with these kinds of weapons. And I think about that sometimes because I think I've sat down with some of the people who these experiments have been executed on and are tracked. And yet, you know, I think about the heart of Jesus on all of this. And despite the reality of the problem, I see that this is what I believe. The Lord is trying to tell us, this is my provision for the problem.
Mm-hmm. And I think each one of us is part of that provision. Mm. I think some of these people would not be in this state. Like humanity or mankind as a whole right now is getting squished like a bug because they want us annihilated, just like in the book of Esther for the Jewish people. So people are feeling it, whether they have experienced a sophisticated weapon or just this whole social, cultural agenda to annihilate man and woman and all biological life. I think it's incumbent on each one of us to listen. And many of these individuals I'm even finding this in just casual people that are not targeted individuals, but just suffering from this, you know, there used to be customer service, you could buy a product that would last more than 2 months and all these different things. I mean, my family won't talk to me, there's all these dynamics that have been, especially since 2020. So just what did Jesus do? He listened. Yes, he taught, but he validated people. Sometimes you don't even have, here, I have a big shoulder and just talk. I will listen. I will break my, whatever I'm doing, I will sit down, I will listen to you. And sometimes, for all of us, that's important to just be a listening ear and validate. The person just wants, yes, I'm going through something. And then it wouldn't build up. So what happens with the targeted individual is they keep getting hit and hit. And nobody's listening to them. They keep reaching out. And there's like, what do I do? And then it build. And their cup overfills to the point that some even commit suicide because they feel that there's no way out. And nobody will even give them the time of day. And I think as a believer, even if you don't do deliverance, facilitate another person not getting to the point that their cup is overfilled in a bad way. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yes, I couldn't agree more, Celeste. That listening is the first step to getting to the right answer. One of the things I tell people a lot is I am less interested on it as an individual. And I believe this is the peace the Lord has given me. Mm-hmm. I am less interested than in being right than in getting to the right answer. And the only way to get to the right answer is to listen long enough to get new information. Mm-hmm. Because if I had all the answers, then praise the Lord, job done. But I'm still here. Then there's still a lot of problems to solve. Therefore, I need to learn. And therefore, we need to listen, you know, and, mm-hmm. And that is one of the keys that, you know, we've had here at Bride is, I mean, I am listening. I'm trying to encourage other people to listen. Thank you, Celeste, for also listening. And hopefully those of you that are listening to this podcast, that's some encouragement to start listening a little bit more as well. Now, I will say this. I mean, too much negativity is tough for anybody to handle. We do have to balance our intake of negativity with positivity. I get that. But not at the expense of what the Lord is trying to do to for people. Like, there has to be some bandwidth to be there, to literally be the hands and feet of Jesus, to listen, even if we don't know what else to do. You know, one of the, and that's powerful for some people, is to be heard for the first time. Like, you don't think I'm crazy and you're actually willing to listen to what I've been through. That in and of itself is a deliverance. Wow.
It's kind of like a foot washing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, your listening is very much like a foot washing. We don't do foot washing because we wear shoes and we're not walking with sandals in the dirt. But your listening is ministering. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had a foot rub, but or a massage, but they're very nice. And so your listening is a massage to this person that has been tormented and tortured. And so I think that that is a blessing. You are imparting a blessing, and you are emulating your Savior, Jesus Christ, who did the same, you know? So, and he does it for me every day. And so why wouldn't I? Because who did he reach out to? He reached out to the social outcasts, the most vulnerable in society. And so these are the most vulnerable in society these days. And when we spend time to just listen and validate and say, you know what, I might not have all the answers, but I'm listening, and if I, let's have a free discussion, but I want you to know I care, and I believe in you. It can make all the difference for that targeted individual. And I always do respond. I may not always have the answer because I can't make the torture stop, but I do believe that greater is he who is in me than is in the world. So I come from that framework, but, you know, I can't flip the switch off, you know, only my Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, can do that. And the Holy Spirit can minister to the woundedness. So
what do you think the convergence is between nanotechnology and frequency technologies, if any?
It's a hand in hand. It's this integration, you know. So when you connect to a website, you're looking up something. You're looking up Celeste's website, and over on the left hand part of your screen, down below, just above your tray, it says, "I'm doing a hand." Your computer's doing a handshake with that other website, and that's kind of, you know, you're kind of holding hands there, and that's what it's doing. It's connecting, it's networking, it's making a bond, a tether. Oh, that was the word, tether. Oh, they're big in the military circles. That was not in your book, tether. And yes, that's when, I mean, they think that there's a tether between Saturn and Jupiter and tethers in nanotechnology. And so tethering and yoking. And yes, one time I wrote the word wrong. I'm an organic farmer. What can I say? I put YOLK, and somebody wrote, they said, it's like yolk, YOKE. It was like, you can't take the organic farmer out of me. I'm sorry. I know what a yoke is. It's like the Jesus' yoke is easy. But anyway, so those are a couple of the words that they have their favorite words and their favorite technology. Like cavitation is a big one. They love cavitation because it can do, it enters your brain. It can enter any orifice. And we were kind of talking a little. So imagine you got a thing of 7-Up and you shake it and you take the lid off of it, and what happens? It goes bubbles everywhere. So, and those bubbles go in, but they love the ears. And so it goes in and it does damage your ear. I can't think of a technical name of it right now, but then the bubbles go into two different ways into your brain, through the cerebral fluid and also through your blood. And then those bubbles smash into your brain at such a velocity that it can cause like necrotic tissue. It can actually cause parts of your brain to die, or it can cause a stroke, or it can even seed Alzheimer's later on. But it does literally damage the stroke or your ears. So, okay, so that's the weapon. So what do we counter it with? So where bubbles found in the scriptures, they are bubbling up. They're in pool. They come up from springs. If you've ever seen a spring, it's bubbling up. And the spirit of the prophecy of Jesus Christ are bubbles. So to counter the weapon bubbles, we would use the bubbling of the prophecies of Jesus Christ and your favorite prophecies that minister to you, because we're each unique. So what your favorite prophecies are, or maybe not my favorite prophecies. So discover what your favorite prophecies are that will minister and come against this cavitation event.
Yeah. Speaking of the interactions between planets, you know, that I assume you're not a flat earther.
No, I'm not. But oh, I get the flat earth people.
Thank God.
Okay. Don't you know what the firmament is? Stick with the science unless you know nothing.
Oh my God. So yeah, the planets, that is that is a huge subject.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things is that there are ley lines between Earth
yes. Yes.
and all of the planets in this solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are there ley lines, but I've been told about the gates yes. between the planets. And yeah. there are places, typically they've all been described to be deep inside the Earth. So how to get there, I have no idea. But like Earth gates or underwater portals that will take the person that travels it from this planet
mm-hmm.
to another planet, somewhere either underwater or in some, that it wouldn't be underground. Like we would, maybe it is underground, like, but under Saturn ground, not Earth ground, like on that planet and, or the moons of them. It's so interesting. So there's this, and so there is this connection, there's interconnectedness. And I am definitely under the opinion that, you know, there are frequencies associated with stars,
mm-hmm.
constellations, mm-hmm. and even planets that under certain alignments have an influence. And that gets into some of the higher levels of the manipulation of the creation that I think the occult world taps into. Probably a conversation for another day. But
I could do a short conversation.
Do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, I do. So when they were going to release the good old jab, they, just like in the Book of Esther, this is very much modeling after the Book of Esther. They consulted the astrologers for the propitious day of annihilation, and they had to deploy it on November 2nd because there was a specific alignment of planets and stars that would potentiate the effect of that, of what they were doing. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to do it on this particular date because, just like in the Book of Esther, you know, with the purposes of annihilation at hand. And so, yeah, they do consult and they do believe. And But we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear. I mean, yeah, they did it on that day. But just as in the book of Esther, the law reversed and the people were given the power, and you are given the power in from your Heavenly Father, from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to overcome this. And I think that your prayer books really demonstrate that. I know they've been powerful in my life. So thank you.
Thank you for saying that. I'm never going to tire of the commercials, Celeste. Too kind.
But you know, if it's true, I'm not, it's not flattery. It's truth. And if something works, you know, and it works for the positive, let's broadcast it. I mean, we get plenty of the bad news. Let's share some of the good news.
But, you know, I have another thought, and I'm just going to say it here because this is something that I've been processing more recently. Now, I went to South Africa, and I got a prophetic word before I left. It's like, you know, when you go, the land is going to talk to you, Daniel. It's like, okay. You know, so I went, and then I got this massive download on elementals. And I came back. So for 14 weeks, we were talking about elementals at the Bride Ministries Church. I mean, and I thought these people would be tired, and they wanted me to continue. Unfortunately, I'm moving on, but that's for another day. Now, with that subject said, you know, elementals, earth, fire, air, water, sun, moon, stars, earthly elementals, heavenly elementals. One of the things that I am now, because I believe that this is something the Lord showed me. You know, the elemental kingdom has been heavily defiled because all of the witchcraft that is done pulls on the energies of the elemental kingdom. I mean, you have water witches, you have fire witches, you have earth witches, you have sky witches, you have, you know, the hermetic magic and their magic tables pulling on the elementals. You have, you know, the pentagram. And when you draw that on, well, what is it pulling on? It's pulling on earth, fire, air, water, and void or spirit. Like those are the 5 points, right? They're this elemental magic with the 7-pointed star. It's earth, fire, air, water, sun, moon, stars, like the 7 points there. So you're merging earth elementals and heavenly elementals, right? And so everything's getting defiled with witchcraft. Like it's not just people doing bad things to each other and hurting each other. It's like they're pulling the whole creation into the defilement. And then as they're defiling creation, like locally, like the earth in the, or the land itself, the air over the city or the community where they're doing lots of witchcraft, like the earth, the air gets defiled, the earth gets defiled, the waters get defiled. You know, they do water rituals all the time, all these cultures, even in Haiti, like I'm half Haitian. They have waterfalls where they just go under there and just do voodoo rituals. Like that's what they defile the water. And one of the things I had pointed out to me by the Lord is that God is on a redemptive agenda. It doesn't stop at mankind. It actually extends to the whole creation. Yes. And so the book of Colossians says, all things, whether in heaven or on earth, are being reconciled in Christ by the cross. So it's like, wow, you know, this is really what Jesus did is bigger than we were told. And that's what excites me. It's like I never cease to be blown away by the size of the love and sacrifice of Jesus. It's just so big, so huge, and it keeps expanding. The more you know him, the more you realize, I just didn't know how good you are. And then we got to the subject, and what I felt the Lord show me was the elementals within a land, the earth, the fire, the air, the water, and then the way sun, moon, stars, planets, like these things interact is on God's redemptive agenda. Like he wants to redeem the land. He wants to redeem the air. He wants to redeem the water, right? So this is all this nanotechnology frequency assaults you're describing. They're assaulting the elemental kingdoms as much as the human domain, right? It's just everything, right, is trying to be defiled. And I felt like what the Lord was showing me was as the sons of God rise up and step into the administration of their identity, and this would be on a level that we haven't fully explored in the past 2,000 years. I think God is taking us into that bridal identity, that mature state. I believe that part of the agenda is redeeming the elemental kingdoms, like pulling them. And what that means is pulling them into original estate. It's like, listen, earth, air, water, like you have an original estate. It's to submit to the kingdom of God. That's, you were created to praise the Lord. And here's the funny thing, right? That might sound strange until we read Psalm 148, which says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his hosts, praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you stars of light, praise him, you heaven of heavens, the waters above the heavens. And then praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. You couldn't get more clear in Psalm 148. Like, God's redemptive agenda is this alignment of the elemental kingdoms under his government. Mm-hmm. And what I felt like the Lord was showing me, Celeste, and you know, obviously you can spin off of this. I feel like as we minister our priesthood before God to each other and the creation, and bring creation to a remembrance of their right estate, their first estate, the frequencies that come off of the creation itself and the elemental kingdoms will smash this new world order technology. I now, that is, you know, a theory. Anyway, I find it to be hopeful.
Well, we are at this very interesting period of time that I've talked about a few times, that all the cycles of time starting in 2020, like billion year cycles, million year cycles, 100,000 year cycles, 25,000 year cycles, 12,000 year cycles, 6,000 year cycles, all the way down to 11 year cycles, are all converging right now. Wow. And in 2020, we enter, so it takes 25,000 plus years for all the constellations to do their full circuit in the sky. And that happened in 2020. We switched into the age of Aquarius, which, I mean, being, you know, growing in the 60s, I thought we were in the age of Aquarius back then, but I didn't study astrology. Mm-hmm. I do the Maza rote, but not the astrology. Now in an age of water, and we think Jesus is the living water, but we are at a flexure point where the most catastrophic disasters of all of Earth's history have happened. And we are also have entered the sixth extinction level event. All that to say, you're right. What he is doing is he's going to judge. So in Ha'azenu, which is Deuteronomy 32, earth, heaven and earth are going to be called to testify because mankind basically didn't do what they were supposed to do in walking with the Lord. And so there's going to be a little period of judgment, a very small period of judgment. And then you're right. I mean, we can look as believers very hopeful that we are taking the first steps into eternity. That bridal supper, marriage supper of the Lamb is just around the corner. I'm not going to set dates. I don't know. It's the only our Father in heaven that knows. But it's close. We can know the season and we know it's close. The technology's there. Everything is lining up. I mean, you have to be an ostrich not to see it. But, and what, you know, it's stressful. It's stressful for you. It's stressful for me. But what bride and groom don't go through a stressful time as they're getting ready for that wedding? It's a stress, that judgment period. Just think about getting ready for a wedding. I mean, there's the cake, there's the dress, there's the people, there's all the details of a wedding. And everybody's kind of crabby and they talk, what do they call the brides? Bridezillas. Because they're like, you know, because we're supposed to be looking forward to that beautiful day. And we have to deal with all these little things. We have to get our garment white, and, you know, not us, but, you know, we have to take care of the issues in our life, repent, be on our face. And that's making our garment white for our wedding day with our bridegroom. And so I'm excited and to see the earth restored. I'm not as quite as maybe you're very much more hopeful than I am. I think that this is one reason that there needs to be a new heaven and our new earth, that even with the purification and the Lord coming back, that it there's some severe, the earth and the everything took a severe hit. And I don't know, maybe there's another reason for a new heaven and an earth, and maybe we can discuss that another time. I don't know. Maybe, do you have ideas?
I guess we could probably end on this note. I do have some ideas about new heaven and new earth. Most of them were out of the box for me. The way that my ideas about it came about was conversational. Now my listening audience is going to understand where I'm coming from when I say this, but you know, I have stepped into a place in my walk with God where I realize essentially every realm has its own sentience, and as far as from a spiritual standpoint. So every city is a realm, the earth is a realm, every planet is a realm, and meaning a government or a kingdom, a malkut, and they will have their own sentience, which means it is possible to actually, in the spirit, engage in a conversation as a son of God. And I have had in prayer time, you know, with the Lord, several conversations with Shemaim or heavens, and the downloads that I've gotten from that have been off the charts. And one of the interesting things from that engagement and encounter was it seems like the heavens and really the earth as well is excited about new heavens, new earth, from the perspective of what was explained to me, it's more like a deliverance than anything else. It's not like a death and ceasing of existence. Like the perspective is, this is my deliverance, is I'm being delivered into new heavens. And so it's like creation is actually very excited about that. And I don't know. So am I.
Yeah, so am I, because exciting. Quite frankly, the earth's been oppressed for a long time. And there just is. And so I'm excited too. I mean, I can hardly wait for this. You can feel it in the air. You can feel the energy and the excitement of it building towards this, our steps into eternity. And I'm just like, I'm so ready for it. Because when I was younger, I understood what it meant to be an end time believer, because I always figured I would be in Hineni, call me Lord. Yeah, I'm always the one that puts up my hand, you know. So I was pretty sure I'd be here. And but then it's I'm at a loss for words. What can I say? Which is hard for me because I'm a communicator, but when you look at, I mean, when you just ponder what he's doing right now. So you have your version of the throne room. I like Isaiah 6. with the train filling the temple and the seraphim and oh my goodness. I just, that's my favorite one. Of heaven, the heavenly heights, and that's my favorite throne room vision. I mean, I like them all, but you know, we all have kind of our, because there's stories, there's backstories on that, why I have that one as a favorite.
It's a beautiful passage. It is beautiful. Did you have any other thoughts you wanted to leave us with today, Celeste?
I just say, listen to your fellow mankind, man and woman and children. Emulate your Savior. Walk in his footsteps. You'll never be sorry. Yes, you may go through a lot on this earth, but you'll never be sorry in the spiritual, reaching out and validating people right now is a very easy thing to do. All you have to do is listen and spend a little bit of your time. And you've got all eternity, so why not? If you can minister to somebody in the name of Jesus Christ and be a blessing, I think this is a big thing that all of us, that each one of us can do to help our fellow mankind out, in this hour. And who knows, some of them that don't know Jesus Christ may accept him as their savior because you spent the time, you cared, you listened, you washed their feet.
Well, friends, I've been talking with Celeste Solomon, and you can find her at celestialreport.com. This has been a wide-reaching interview. I enjoyed it. Thank you, and thank you for all of the hard work that you've done to put the pieces together. Friends, until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you will discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.